This is Art Dirt, Ray Duke, coming to you from New York City. Art Dirt, Ray Duke. How you doing?
Hi.
Anybody want to give me a description of what's going on here? Before we start, I'm recording. I'm GA from Art Dirt, Ray Duke. Art Dirt, Ray Duke.
Is that a
podcast?
Podcast. Oh, podcast. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm recording you. This is, what's your name?
My name is Juniper.
Gina?
Juniper.
Juniper.
Yes.
Okay. And this gallery is?
Elizabeth D. Gallery.
Elizabeth D. Okay. I love this show.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
It's just, it actually reminds me a lot of like kind of 1970s, 80s punk stuff that I was involved in. You know, so it's kind of like, wow.
Well, it has that feel to it, for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, what's the show about?
Well, it was curated by Drew Heitzler,
really?
Who ran this artist-run gallery space called Champion Fine Arts in Williamsburg about 3 or 4 years ago. He then moved to L.A. and did work with Champion Fine Art there. And he stayed involved with all of the artists that he worked with through Champion Fine Art, and everyone in the show he met through the process of doing that artist-run gallery space. So most of the artists involved in the show have been very involved in doing communal or collaborative work in you know, in the artist-run gallery community.
That's great. That's like good news.
So they have their foot in this.
That's like great news.
Kind of anti, or not anti, but non-commercial gallery world where the focus isn't on selling the work and producing marketable goods so much as it is about an exchange of ideas and visual ephemera.
Probably when I got these boxes,
that's kind of the basis of the show, that there's all these artists who are involved in each other's lives, and like there's a lot of social crossover and collaborative work around building a dialogue about work that isn't, the focus isn't commercial value. However, all
everything's
the artists,
for sale anyway.
Everything is for sale, and a lot of the artists in the show also make work for commercial gallery spaces. So like Phelan or Carol Bove or a number of artists, Mikey Hooray or Cyprian Guyard. A lot of these artists are showing in bigger galleries, commercial galleries, that sell their work at, high prices.
Dogs are not allowed.
Okay.
So the idea is that there's not like a polemic between these two things. That you can have artists who are very much engaged in non-commercial gallery work who are also engaged in commercial
gallery. But this is a commercial gallery.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's why it's called Bring the War Home, because it's not so much about the opposing forces as it is about how those forces are working together.
Okay.
Look at
this. Well, all it seems like fairly collectible to me. I mean, ultimately. It's kind of like, you can buy the table with all the stuff set up on it.
No. And a lot of the work isn't for sale. A lot of it is, either one-offs that just aren't for sale, or else it's the last of an edition. These are like documentation of activities and exist only as documentation. They're not for sale.
So what is this?
This is North Drive Press.
What's that?
This is North Drive Press.
Yeah.
They're a collaborative group that makes these publications. This is the first one. This is the second one. This is the most recent one. So you can see they have various contributions by the different participants of the group.
Right, so it's kind of like a Fluxus.
Yeah, I mean, there's a strong influence of Fluxus
very nice.
70s sort of art movement.
North Drive Press, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's the edition on this? How many is this? You don't know.
no, it doesn't say. Tim knows.
Who knows? Okay. Is there a price on that?
$35.
It's not bad. So that's like, what's the price range on all this stuff?
Well, the t-shirts, this is a project that's to bring Gaiar and Jen. This is $500,000 for these artist signed t-shirts.
$500,000?
Uh-huh. It's been like a three-year-long project in which we produce these t-shirts with artists' portraits on them, and then sells them through black marketeers and t-shirt shops outside of art fairs. So he started at Basel, and he's been to Basel, Miami, and the New York Fair. And
what's his name?
Cyprien Gaillard.
How do you spell that?
CYPRIENGAILLARD.
Oh.
He also did a video. I'm not sure if it's screening right now, but it's in the background.
Is that the one with the cowboy, the Chinese cowboy?
No, that's
Cyprien, okay, Yard, okay.
So that's the most expensive thing. There's a lot of free things, a lot of the posters.
Which one's that? This? With the turtle? Peter Coffin and Anthony? United Artists Limited, Texas?
The Ramblers.
It's interesting. A free poster.
So it's a range from. There's a lot of like $12 zines.
Yeah, it's nice. It's very nice.
$2 and $3 zines.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, just to have this show at the same time frame as the East Village show at NYU as well.
What's that?
Oh, I don't know what it's still up now.
There's the installation art is kind of a dialogue.
Remember that East Village show at NYU? That's not up now, it's down. Yeah.
Still?
I don't think so. I mean, look at it. It's kind of like, speaking of rust, I mean, you like what? Rust. Standing on the floor. That's what it is.
This is 1, 2,
it's
3.
You're welcome.
So this one's not the same. Oh, this one's the same height as that. Maybe not. Yeah, so there's basically three elements in terms of like three heights. So what? I can see if I'm looking at it. These cracks over here. There's some cracks on the cement floor. This one's lower. There's a lot of cracks on it. Which could also be like the same height. This and that are the same height. So this space is like three different heights.
Right, so it's a summer show.
Right.
They're getting funded by their own countries.
Actually, this would be a fourth height.
One
of the kind of discussion for heights.
It gives them prestige because they're showing in New York.
There's
exposure and there's PR.
This is probably the same.
I'm trying to figure out like how that works. What the economics of that.
60s or
something. That's
really
yeah.
He did exactly his first piece. He taken this huge steel basically forging. 1, 2, 3, 4. Impression forgers
four
things. You just kind of stamp it like stamp like he did. Close to molten, or stamp it. Stamp like on both sides. You keep on taking this thing and like just pushing it and pushing it and pushing it until it gets crackle
right
off.
Okay.
All right. Well, it might be that part. See this height there? This looks like. You know what this looks like? It looks like there's a bar. See, that's like a lifting bar. It's not shooting into position, but it cracked the concrete and now it's on the ceiling.
Right.
I mean, so as you look at this, you're going to say, oh, yeah, okay, these will be all the damage on the floor.
We're
moving Richard's
sculpture
around. What Richard's probably doing with this,
it's just kind of interesting. Like, look at all this kind of like what Richard's doing.
He's going to steel mill.
He's saying, okay,
What's so long is just like, well, you said that all of these are kind of like mining style.
Volume wise and weight wise.
You want, because he's always like, Empire Diners?
Interesting.
It's so simple.
So it's kind of funny in terms of what it means.
Empire?
But the execution is also the family members. You have to think of this, not have to.
Because process-wise,
it's kind of like,
there's notions that cube is steel solid. I was just, aren't even apparent, I'm sure that Richard works.
What's the volume?
Like,
while they have, like, it's kind of like, t-shirt was 500, yeah.
And then you say, okay, how can it be like a big drawing? It's a different size.
This is a commercial gallery.
6 by
3
by 6
by 6 by 6 by 6. Look at that. Right. Okay, so basically, every.
What's interesting is this work
dealing with digital
relates more to Richard Nonis's earlier work. Because Richard Nonis had this kind of notion of making this kind of corral type, maze type stuff. So this kind of 256.
It's interesting.
So you got 256 cubic feet on a 6 by 6 by 6 square cube, right? Whatever. And volume wise, it could be like there's other ways to get that. Number.
I think it's like art has hit a
lot. But does that also be on the same weight? Like if steel is a certain
size by the label? Or
is it stock? Equal weights to make it stock and weight. So basically, Steve, it's when you.
Well,
they may, you know, they may have forged it, like tilted down on these sides, right? Or maybe not. Maybe this was never. Maybe this is just the way it comes out. Maybe this is like stock plate, same size.
You see the way that these are like rusted. It has like a surface type of that.
This is like a blued steel. They throw oil on it when they zero and it's still hot. And basically that's like supposed to seal the surface from rust. But you see how it's like kind of it's decaying off.
So are these going to be very technical? Actually, it's weird.
It's a blued steel?
That was like very technical. You have
and they rust out. They rust to the brown. This is flaking already. You can see the way that the blue is
really complicated.
But the way the Corten steel is supposed to be is that it gets to a certain level and it rusts. And it stays like that. It doesn't oxidize more than that. What?
Yeah, so you know basically the notion that's
where we're sitting on a piece of wood.
In terms of this amount of like labor involved in making the work and the mounts and the plywood and the bit and the kind of like all those finishes.
What you do with it? Oh, you know what you do? It's essentially when the show comes down, whatever the steel yard is that fabricated it, you send it back to there and they store it. Because the other facility to store it.
I don't get it.
Ship it and rig it, right? I mean, basically, that's what the deal would be on things like that. I believe that that's what Richard does. He basically has a deal with the fabricators or the steel guys who are actually doing it. They take it. Because you got this whole deal. You have to have licensed riggers to install it, reinstall it, move it.